This morning, I want to draw your attention to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to lift up just a few verses for the purpose of preaching. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll be reading from the NIV version. And it reads, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." I want to share this morning from the subject, God is equipping us. God is equipping us. My brothers and sisters, training is critical for frontline soldiers because they are the first to face the enemy. Like myself, those of you who have been in the military know that the first personal protective equipment you were given was a helmet and some type of body armor. But ask the doctors and nurses, emergency responders, police and firefighters. They will tell you that preparedness is the key. Proper training and personal protective equipment are essential tools needed to combat any enemy, no matter what form the enemy takes. In our lifetime, we learn that the enemy's evil takes on many forms, and it can infiltrate every aspect of our lives. Evil can disrupt our finances, torment our minds, and cause us to weep in despair. It lurks in the shadow and waits for an opportune moment to pounce with all its vigor, seeking those who are not properly protected. In this 21st century age of climate change, pandemics, and food shortages, we are prone to greatly overestimate Satan's power. In our frustrating moments, we may ask, why does God allow such evil to persist? But we already know the answer. The Word of God reminds us that the good often suffer along with the bad. But though we are subject to the same afflictions as the unbeliever, we do not sorrow even as others which have no hope, because we know that ours is a different outcome. So what can we do in this season of uncertainty to protect ourselves from evil's onslaught? What personal protective equipment can we put on to thwart the enemy's attack? How does God equip us? Paul warned the Ephesians to put the whole armor of God. Cover yourself, he said, from head to toe. Put on the breastplate of righteousness and gird your loins with truth. Shod your feet with the gospel. Put on the helmet of salvation and carry the shield of faith. And by all means, don't forget your sword, the Word of God. Put all that equipment on, but don't for 1 minute think it's enough and let your guard down. You better pray. Paul says day and night. And ask God to cover any chinks there may be in your armor. This warfare stuff is serious business. And we are familiar with what Paul says. But what does Peter say? Let's take a closer look at our text this morning. First Peter says to you and to me, we must pay attention. The text says, be sober and vigilant. In other words, he's saying, be alert or awake to evil's potential. In other words, be self-controlled and clear-headed. Discipline yourself. Don't let your guard down. Don't think that because you haven't been directly buffeted by the storm, you can breathe easy. See, the enemy is out there. Most of what we label as the enemy is simple a product of the real enemy. We call racism the enemy. We call classism the enemy. We call sexism the enemy. And there is a list of other isms that we call the enemy. But understand that Satan and evil are the real enemy. Everything else is a byproduct. Nations and communities and races have been fighting against each other when the real battle between good and evil has been ongoing. Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Evil is all around us. While Satan is in this eating frenzy, trying his best to devour us, you and I have to remain clear-headed, somber, and unruffled. This is no time to play around. Don't get giddy with God. Don't listen to the lunatics. Listen to the Lord. He's counting on us to be serious, to be settled, to be stayed, because fighting the enemy is a matter of grave importance. A vigilant soldier is a watchful and wary warrior. He's on his toes all the time. The Lord expects you to be alert to the spiritual danger of being deceived. Peter is calling us to keep our mind and our spirit ready for battle. He knows it's not enough to know the word. You've got to show the word by your actions. A vigilant soldier knows that it's important to be prayed up, but you've got to pray with one eye open. It was Jesus who said, "Watch and pray." Watch for the evil that shows up in neon lights and dark shadows. Watch for the evil that shows up as fake news or just a slight slant on reality. Watch for the evil that shows up in bold print and fine print. Watch for the evil that comes through licentious leaders and their audacious underlings. We must pay attention. But then Peter says that you and I must be steadfast in our faith. My brothers and sisters, you and I have to stand firm. While it's true that the weapons we have against evil's indecent offenses are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, those weapons are useless if they are not coupled with steadfastness, because the enemy is a master at detecting windows of opportunity. Remember, Abraham had his handmaiden. David had his Bathsheba. Samson had his Delilah. Steadfast in the Greek simply means stability. For the Greeks, it was a military term, which meant a solid front. The front lines are reserved for the best soldiers, the ones who are best equipped for the battle. Every Christian should make sure he is equipped as a frontline soldier, because it's the frontline soldiers who create and fortify a stronghold against the enemy. The Israelites built strongholds against the Midianites. David dwelt in strongholds when Saul sought to kill him. Rehoboam fortified his strongholds with the help of the steadfast tribes of Judah and Benjamin at his side. Strongholds maintained by those who were steadfast became the Israelites' reliable defense against all enemies. And Peter wants you to know that your steadfastness in the faith is your stronghold against your enemies. It's the same teachable moment Paul had in his first letter to the Corinthians. Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your steadfast faith is the reinforcement you need to build a foolproof stronghold. The more you put into practice the principles of Christianity, the more resilient you will show yourself against any enemy. As Christians, we have the ability to demolish those seeds of doubt others may have, and to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We are called to be steadfast followers who know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are disciples of Christ, ready for battle, ready to exemplify Christ's power, reveal Christ's glory, further Christ's call, honor Christ's teaching, and save the world. Remember, my brothers and sisters, we must pay attention. We must be steadfast in our faith. But finally, Paul reminds us to trust that God's got this. Evil is nothing more than Satan's attacks on God. And we know the Lord has all power over Satan. We must learn to entrust our lives to the one who gave us life. Peter says we can trust that God will protect us, that God will establish us, that God will strengthen us, and that God will settle us. Each of us has our own one-on-one experience with the power of God. Our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us access to God's unlimited power. God's power is our ultimate protection. God is faithful toward those who are faithful to Him. He will endow the faithful with power from on high. And we may have to go through some things. We may have to encounter difficult hardships, face painful persecution, confront severe opposition. We might have to encounter and resist persistent condemnations, endure extreme pressures, and even endure great sacrifice. But God is able to endow us with His Spirit and carry us through any adversity. The power of Christ within us assures us the ultimate victory. While Satan is wandering to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, the God of all grace, Peter reminds us, will ultimately put an end to our suffering. God alone is able to do this. He will give us the victory in due season if we do not faint. In a world at its worst, God will shape us into a church at its best. In a world full of sin, God will turn us into a church full of holiness. In a world full of sadness, God wants a church full of joy. In a world full of darkness, God needs a church full of light. In a world filled with hell, God is calling for a church prepared for heaven. In a world that's out of tune, God is calling for a church full of harmony. In a world full of heartache, God needs a church that promotes hope. In a world full of bad news, God needs a church full of good news. While the world is playing, God needs a church that is praying. For a sick world, God needs a healing church, a trusting church, a church that knows suffering endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. My brothers and sisters, COVID-19 has changed our world. As with Judah in 8th century BC, God is saying to us, go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourself for a little while until His wrath has passed by. We may have to occasionally shelter in place. We may have to curb our activities. We may even have to reassess our lifestyles, and we must wear our mask wherever we go. But this too shall pass. Remembering what the late John Lewis, the great civil rights activist, said, we were beaten. We were tear gassed. I thought I was going to die on this bridge. But somehow, in some way, God Almighty helped me here. We cannot give up now. We cannot give in. We must keep the faith. Keep our eyes on the prize. My brothers and sisters, in this hour, we need to be robed in God's personal protective equipment. The Lord is drawing all of us to his throne of grace for a closer communion with him. Come, he says, come and enter your secret closet. God has removed all distractions from around us, and he is beckoning us to trust him. Trust his all-sufficient grace. Trust his all-encompassing power. Trust his everlasting love and mercy. We must simply trust and obey the Lord.